The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Mixed martial arts. Mixed martial arts. MMA stands for mixed martial arts.
That's right. It sure does. Hope you guys all enjoyed UFC Vegas 40. Multitasking. I, of course, shared the wrong link.
Amateur so, hour. Come on. Heck.
I know.
Jeez.
We need 8K. There we go. All right. Nope, that's not a word. Okay. All right, we are here. The tweet has been fired. It is not the most fiery tweet. AK will be disappointed, but AK hopefully will join us in a matter of moments. It's the UFC Vegas 40 post-fight show. We're going to maybe try to combine these things, but we made an executive decision. We're just going to talk UFC Vegas 40, kind of a filler between that main event and the Bellator 268 main card, which is supposed to kick off in 12 minutes. But you know, if you watch enough Bellator broadcasts, that the first fight is not going to start probably to like 10:15 or 10:20 Eastern time. So we're good. I am Mike Heck. That is E. Casey Lydon.
It's me.
And you know, we like to have a little bit of momentum, some fun things to talk about. That main event. I mean, listen, Norma Dumont fought the fight she needed to win. It wasn't the most exciting fight, no, but she won. And she won four rounds, in my opinion. She won rounds 1 through 4. Ladd got some momentum at the end of round 4. Won the 5th. But this is the Norma Dumont got the win. And that's really all that matters. And she's probably going to get a title shot after this, Casey. Even though it wasn't the most impressive performance, she's probably going to get a title shot.
You think so?
I mean, listen. This is 135, 145. It's Amanda Nunes' world. They all just kind of live in there right now. So after Amanda cuts to 135, if she beats Juliana Pena, it's going to be her call. And her call will probably be, yeah, I want to fight again soon, but I don't want to cut to 135 again. So I have the second belt. I might have another, maybe one more title defense that I'll ever have in this division. We actually have someone that you can argue could be the number one contender. I'll go fight this Norma Dumont girl. See what she's got.
That's obviously, yeah, it's a good possibility. It ain't gonna. It's gonna be a tough, even for a co-main event. I guess it's one of those. Watch Amanda Nunes fight again one more time before she, you know, says happy trails to MMA. That's really the only selling point to me if you try to book Amanda Nunes versus Dumont. But yes, as AK would say, that was a fight.
It was a fight. It was a fight.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah, she did what she had to do. It was, you know, and listen, I don't like being that guy. I don't like being the, you know, don't judge a book by its cover or judge a book by its cover kind of guy. Because normally when we have cards like this, it's always – you go in there with kind of low expectations. There's usually some fun finishes, like a whole bunch of them. And we're like, you know what? For a card that looked like this on paper, this was not that bad. This one overall, not great. It just wasn't that great. It seemed like, what did it start at 4? So it was like 5.5 hours. It seemed like it was a 9-hour card. It just was. We had some great moments. We'll talk about Jim Miller because that was awesome. And we'll talk about some of the other cool things that happened. But all in all, this was Bellator. If Bellator officials were watching this card, they're like, oh, man, I think we might be good tonight.
Yeah. It was a card that did not look good on paper. And as Dana White would say, don't judge a card till, you know, you see it. And, well, now we're judging it. And it pretty much, I'm not even sure I met those expectations.
Yeah. Hey,
You can't hit home runs all the time. You can't even hit singles. Sometime, you know, you bunt, foul, and strike two. I don't
know. So, I mean, the good news is, at least for us trying to predict bonuses, I don't think we're going to have a fight of the night. There are 4 finishes on the card, so something tells me there's going to be 4 performance bonuses.
Oh, okay.
Cartolozzi, Batgary.
Miller.
Batgary is the official. Bruno Silva. No, one of these guys are going to be out. No, Jim Miller's definitely getting one.
Okay,
maybe Nate Landwehr will get it.
Yeah, I'm going for performance bonuses. Miller, obviously. Heck, Miller might get 2 of them. Just for the
Miller should get 4 of them.
He might just get
2. That was insane.
Miller will get one, obviously. I think Nate Landwehr should definitely get one, especially him coming in as a big underdog. I thought he was going to get whooped up tonight. I wouldn't mind seeing Bruno Silva get one. And, Dana has to get one. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Dana has. Batgary.
Yeah.
I'm jumping around the card a little bit right now, but he made that fight look so easy and so uncompetitive. He probably will not get 50K because he made it look too easy. I know, you know, sometimes they say, oh, he didn't even break a sweat. I'm not even sure he needed to even stretch. That's all skill-wise. He was just so far ahead of a very durable, very tough Brandon Davis. Brandon Davis, yeah, I don't think he's a top 15 guy at all, but you always get a tough fight from him. And that was just, that was ridiculous how Dana made that look. You watched the fight. It was just not, it wasn't even competitive. It looked like it just, I don't even know.
Yeah, that fight probably could have been stopped. I mean, it looked like he knocked Brandon out cold for a minute, and then but Brandon just had his wits about him, and Dana just,
because he's so dang tough. I think it's his first time he's lost, and I know he's lost some decisions over his career, but he's never been demolished like that in what, 2 minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes.
Yeah, he's never been stopped in the first round like that. Yeah.
That was uncompetitive. It wasn't like he got caught in a flurry or something.
It's gonna be interesting
better.
How they do the bonuses. Cartolozzi was a comeback win, and Estella Nunes grabbed the fence 3 times. and then Bruno Silva got kicked in the ding ding 3 times.
3 times, yeah. And great comeback. Great comeback too.
That was a comeback too. Although I thought Sanchez won the first and second round. 2 judges disagreed with me, and they gave Bruno Silva the first round. I don't know what fight they were watching.
I know a lot of people were going kind of crazy on that. I think even you kind of were like, what the heck? But I didn't mind that. I thought Sanchez's ground control was just ground control. And if damage is the truest criteria, how they judge fights, even Bruno Silva's, 10-punch combo to the body, what might have been enough. I still gave it to Sanchez, but I understand. Yeah. I understand why Silva got that round. But it's all mute. It doesn't really matter because Sanchez got knocked out by Bruno Silva. So,
yeah, I didn't really complain about that. The one fight that I did complain
about
was
a bad one.
The judging was the Danny Roberts fight. And I don't have an issue with Danny Roberts winning the fight. It was close. I scored it for Ameev.
Me too.
But when they said 30-27, I was Ameev. Okay, Ameev definitely won the fight.
I scored a 30-27 for Ameev. I thought he had all 3 rounds. Granted, the last, I think it was, I thought the last round I thought was the closest, but I still gave all 3 rounds to Ameev. So I was shocked, but.
Yeah, I don't think Roberts, even though even though Bisping was like, oh my God, Roberts is landing 500 punches in a row, I didn't think he landed a whole bunch of them. I think he landed like a small percentage of them. So I definitely gave Roberts two. I thought Ameev did enough to win the third. And I thought Ameev won the first. I thought that was clear. I thought that was the clearest round of the fight, but.
Yeah. Oh, the first was ridiculous. I think even they showed the stats. It was like 20 strikes to five or something for Ameev. I'm looking at MMA decisions right now, and while no one scored a 30-27 like I did, about 10 journalists had Ameev winning, and two of them had Roberts winning. So not
who are the journalists that had Roberts winning?
Two weirdos from sharedog.com.
Oh, okay. Was Keith Schilling one of them?
No, Jay Petrie and Tyler Treese. I know Jay, I don't know Tyler. And everyone else in the mixed martial arts journalist world all had Ameev winning 29-28.
Okay. All right. So we'll wait on bonuses. I mean, we might just have to go to the peeps there. I mean, honestly.
Yeah,
Jim Miller. I mean, we could talk about Jim Miller for the next 20 minutes because that was ridiculous. Yeah. That was insane. That was a great fight, first of all. Like, the first round was great between both of those guys.
And I thought
Eric Gonzalez wobbled him, had him hurt.
I thought Gonzalez won the first round, too.
I did too. But the momentum clearly is with Jim Miller because he was landing that left hand over and over again. And then he wobbled Gonzalez at the end of the first. And you're just like, and then to do that, you got to feel fair. Eric Gonzalez finally gets the UFC, fulfills his promise to get there 3 months before his 30th birthday. He's got all his family and friends out there. Like, he got the biggest pop of the night and then gets bolted by Jim Miller, which, I mean, it's Jim freaking Miller. Jim freaking Miller.
I think that was his first TKO stoppage since UFC 200. Was that what it is? Against Tucker Norigomi? His first TKO stoppage.
I mean, that was a straight knockout. That was insane.
I want to give Jim Miller a lot of credit, but man, that was. My Mr. Gonzalez, is that his name? Yeah, Eric Gonzalez. Oh man, I felt like Michael Bisping a bit. You could tell Michael Bisping, you know, he wants to support the fighters. And during the whole main event, he kept apologizing. I'm not trying to disrespect Aspen Ladd, but what the heck is she doing? You know. And I'm gonna kind of say this about Eric Gonzalez. I know he's a very talented fighter, but that weird crescent kick he threw of both hands down and he falls right into range. It was just like,
it's desperate. It was a desperation move. He was still hurt.
He must have been. He had to be concussed coming out because that made zero sense. It was one of the worst strategic kicks we've seen. I think people compared it to the Weidman spinning kick that kind of turned the fight around when he fought Luke Rockhold. I remember Weidman did. Or that spinning elbow that Chael threw against Anderson Silva. Just these, why did you do that? That just made zero sense. But credit to Jim Miller for knocking out Eric Gonzalez in an amazing, amazing punch. And Jim Miller, future UFC Hall of Famer who never really sniffed a title shot. So, just doing it, man. Good on Jim Miller. And hopefully he gets a new nickname because A-10 – I'm sorry, I got really caught up in the A-10 nickname. That's a horrible nickname. A-10, what is that? I mean, I'm sure it means something cool to him, but come on, no, man.
I think of like the Atlantic 10, like – collegiate basketball conference or collegiate sports conference, the Atlantic 10. That's what I think of every time I hear it.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Koreshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Let me ask you about this before we go to the people, because this is probably the biggest storyline heading out of that main event. How Jim West, listen, there's a relationship between
Jim West being Aspen Ladd's
Aspen Ladd's head coach. Okay. Also, they're together.
Yeah,
they're
partners. Yeah,
they are partners in life, in this crazy thing called life. But as I mean, I'm sitting there, I was the live blogger for the main event, so my fingers weren't moving as fast as they normally would in a main event. But there's a lot of talk about Jim West and how his corner advice was, because at first it was like, okay, you got to do more, like pick it up a little bit. Then the second round, it was like, all right, what do you got to pick it up a little bit. After the third, I was like, what are you doing out there? Like, what are you doing out there? Like, try to win the fight, do something. And then the fourth, it got a little more uncomfortable. Fifth round, got a little more uncomfortable. Like, and our colleague Ariel Helwani just answered somebody's question. It was asked about if the corner was too harsh, and he said, and I kind of, there's a fine line between tough love and being too harsh. At first it felt like the former. Obviously he knows what she responds to best, but then it felt uncomfortable to watch. Too much. We didn't hear any technique being discussed or game plan. Not ideal. So let me ask you, Casey, you've been around the sport a long time. You've heard many of corner say things to their fighters between rounds. What did you make of Jim West's pump up conversations, things that he said? I mean, only they know their relationship and what she responds to more than any of us do. But you watching and listening to it, how did you feel about it?
I felt there was something else going on in Aspen Ladd's life right now. I don't know, maybe it was just me, I was looking too much into it, but I felt for the first time I was going to see a fighter literally break down emotionally in a corner. I looked like Aspen Ladd, she's a fighter. She knows what's going on. She knew she wasn't like giving it all for some reason. And I felt like Jim West was like, okay, if I go any harder on her, like you got to freaking fight. You got to knock. Okay, real quick. He caught her. You got to finish it. He goes, you got to finish this broad. I love the fact that he caught Dermot a broad. I just thought that was hilarious. But I think he just knew that there was something going on in Ladd's head, and yelling at her and just being super, like, you know, I don't know. Who's that coach? Was it Krause? Kind of goes just balls the wall crazy sometimes on his fighters. That it just doesn't work with Ladd. And he knows best. I mean, it was odd, but I'm not going to blame the coach. I have to blame Aspen Ladd. I mean, Aspen Ladd, for lack of a better word, she shit the bed tonight. That's all. I mean, the bed. It was disappointing. I was so high on Aspen Ladd coming into this, but of course she has been out for 2 years. We don't need total knee construction surgery. Just the horrible weight cutting of 2 weeks ago. Maybe that did carry over here. Maybe no, she can. We only see her on that scale smiling for 15 seconds, and we're judging everything by those 15 seconds. She knows the cameras are going to be there. We don't know what's going on in Ladd's personal life, how good or bad training camp was, if even that horrible weight cut she had 2 weeks ago carried over to tonight's fight where she just couldn't perform. There's so many things we don't know, and unless Aspen Ladd truly opens up in an interview and is 100% honest on what's going on in her head, we're just really speculating here. And but the Aspen lad we saw tonight, that's not the Aspen lad that got her to the dance. That was another woman, and I don't know what happened in the last 2 years. But if that's who she is now, that's not good news for her career as a professional fighter.
Yeah, and you remember the Yana Kunitskaya fight? Because she was probably down two rounds in that fight, and Jim West like let her have it before that third round, and Ladd went out there and beat her down and knocked her, topped her.
And that was the same Jim West. So, I mean, I think we were kind of expecting that, and he didn't give us that. And there had to be a reason for that. And, you know, I don't know. I think there's a lot of I don't knows, and I don't want to speculate too much. We're just speculating, really based on very little. Because Aspen Ladd's a pretty private person. You know, she tells us she walks her dogs a lot and she likes hiking. Outside of that, I really don't know very much about her.
Yeah. I am going to try to get her for a chat this week. We'll see what happens. Had she won, I probably would have talked to her on Monday, but I still want to have that conversation with her, win or lose, just to get her take on everything. It was just, yeah, I mean, listen, we don't know. We don't know. Mm-hmm. But that you want to give her crap. She's a professional athlete.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, do you agree that there was something it was something beyond just this who had the better skill set tonight in the cage? There was something else there that we just don't know. And Jermont,
she has been through a lot.
And even we even talk about very much there were like massive fires out in the woods in Northern California or Central California where Aspen Ladd lives and trains. So she I remember just a month ago she had to evacuate her home, and there's just a lot of things going on. And but that's fighting, you know. That's the difference between, you know, the GSPs and whoever else. You know, those fighters, no matter what is going on in their life, they somehow show up on that Saturday night. Tonight, Ladd didn't show up for who knows what reason. And credit to Dumont, she did, and she did enough to win the fight.
Smart game plan. She got it done. She went out there and won, and that's all that matters. So I do have Bellator on. Nothing is happening. No surprise. They're still talking. They're still previewing the main event. So we're going to be,
It's TV. Yeah, come on.
It's probably going to be another 15 minutes before we get rolling here. So, all right, let's go to the peeps. Yeah, their thoughts on this star-studded UFC Vegas 40 event.
Oh, sorry. There's silhouette of AK. I had the wrong one up there. Sorry. Oop, there we go.
It's okay.
All right, here we go.
Thoughts on Manon Fiorro. What's your hype level? Listen, I thought she needed a fight like tonight. Like her going out there and bolting Myra Bueno Silva would have been great, would have boosted her stock, would have been huge. But her going out there and having a 3-round fight, it's only good for her, right? Like for her development, for her growth, and to go 3 rounds and win that fight pretty easily. Like Silva's a tough opponent, definitely the toughest opponent she's faced in her career. I don't think it blew the doors off for you, Casey, just based on what I saw on Twitter, but I thought it was a fine performance. I thought she went out there and she won the fight, and it was a pretty convincing win.
Yes, I agree. It was a fine performance by Manon Fiorro, and she was the better fighter tonight. And that's kind of about it. It's in a positive way, but Holly Holm vibes. She kind of kept throwing that 1-2-3 sidekick, 1-2-3 sidekick for the first 2 rounds at least. And then when she did take it to the – was it Buena Silva that kind of initiated the clinch? And then Fiorro eventually – yeah. And then – so when – Inglewood.
Okay.
Inglewood. all right. Well, I'll keep going. Basically, this was a great fight for her in the long game. She needs 3 rounds these against good competition. She fought controlled, never did something that was out of her skill set, and it was a solid win. Now that I come out going, oh, this is the woman that's going to challenge Valentina in 2 more fights. I don't think that. I didn't see that at all. I saw a top 10 125er potentially, and that's about it. I mean, I still see like the Aaron Blanchfields, the Miranda Mavericks, the Alexa Grosso's still right up there too. But there's nothing that I saw tonight where I could think, oh, man, and she is the person that's going to take down Valentina. I do think eventually they will match her up properly and she will eventually fight for a title probably within, that's got 4 or 5 fights. But right now, she just looks like a good contender.
Yeah, I think she's right up there with the other, like the next generation of 25ers that need some molding, need mm-hmm. some work. The Casey O'Neills, the fighters you just mentioned, yeah. Aaron Blanchfield's going to fight Macy Barber. We'll see how she does with that. It's a little bit of that's a nice little step up for her. And Miranda Maverick, who's coming out the controversial loss and to Macy Barber. And yeah, I mean, 25 is really not that interesting at the top, like at the top of the title conversation right now, right? But in the next year and a half, 2 years, it's going to get real interesting.
Yeah.
Once these women develop a little bit more. So yeah, Manon's going to have to move a little quicker. She's in her 30s.
Yeah, she's 31. And the other ladies we mentioned are kind of in their mid to young 24. 20s. So yeah. I threw it out there. I think depending on how her camp feels, I would love to see Manon versus someone like if she wants a big jump in competition, someone like Cynthia Calvillo. Someone just took a big, big loss. I mean, that's a big jump. Or I still want to see Manon face like a serious grappler. I mean, I don't want to do this to her because I feel bad, but like Manon versus someone like Roxy, you know?
Yeah. I don't want to like waste a pro. I don't think you're wasting a prospect to 25, but her and Miranda Maverick would be interesting right now.
Yeah.
Because Miranda's got incredible wrestling and pretty good striking. So, but I don't know if you want to match those two up so quickly.
Yeah. I want to see that for selfish reasons, but I think for lining up future contenders, that probably isn't the best idea, which most likely means it will be the next fight.
we'll take some more questions. Yeah, I mean, Bellator is about to kick off, but so what? I mean,
a lot of criticism for the main event. So I'm going to throw some criticism.
I mean,
I get it.
Trust me. Highest level MMA, the top promotion in the game. We get 25 minutes of Aspen Ladd doing nothing against some lady I barely heard of. It was not a great main event.
Yeah. I mean,
the only way it would have like made waves at all is if Aspen did what a lot of people thought she was going to do, go out there, take her down and beat her up. And that just didn't happen tonight. So,
and there's 25 minutes. We saw about 30 seconds of that in the end of round four. We're like, okay, this is the Aspen Ladd we've heard about and we remember. And yeah. Oh, that fifth round. I forgot that fifth round was so infuriating when Ladd had that clinch. And she just wasn't just not being active enough. She threw one elbow, busted Dumont's face up, and that was kind of it. And like the whole time she wasn't attacking the legs, wasn't kneeing the legs, wasn't doing anything. I was just like, it was up there as one of the more infuriating main events I've seen in a long while. Yeah.
Still waiting on bonuses. Yeah. Don't have those yet. We're gonna go at least till we get the bonuses. Yeah. Ladd's coach infuriated me. It's okay to urge your fighter, but he didn't give her a single technical advice. Even when lying against the fence in round five, he kept raising his hand in disdain. Again, I mean, we broke this down probably as best as we could. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We got bonuses. Let's see what we got here. All performance bonuses.
Miller. Landwire. Silva. And Dana.
Yep. Ariane Carnelosi, no bonus.
No bonus. Hey, that's why card placement matters. Fighters always say, I don't care if the first fight or the last fight. Nope. If you're higher on the card and you get an equal kind of knockout or submission, they always go to the higher ranked fighter, the higher placed fighter. Yep. So, someone has to lose out. Cool. All right. Okay. Back to questions.
Henry Corrales getting tossed around right now.
Oh no.
Where do you guys think Aspen goes from here at 135? Amanda survives Juliana Pena for a 6th title defense. I think the Tate fight is still there. Especially since Tate is kind of, I mean, she wasn't going off on Aspen. She's going off on Jim West on Twitter. Both the coaching advice saying it was borderline abuse.
That was my next question, but to pull up. Yeah. So what did Tate say? Borderline abuse. Abuse like Jim West is being mean to? I don't understand. I thought we were arguing that Jim West should have been harsher on Ladd.
Okay, so Misha Tate's first tweet was, "This is abuse. What a douche," was the actual first tweet. And then she got a bunch of follow-ups. One fan said, "I understand what you're saying, but he did the same thing last fight and she knocked her opponent out, so I don't know, but I kind of agree he's way too aggressive." Misha's response was, "She would have done that without him. It's who she is. He will take credit for her win, but never for her loss. Trust me, she can only take so much of this abuse before it breaks her spirit." Let's see. Then another person said, "It worked last fight." Her response was, "You're joking me, right? Maybe the only reason she's even starting slow is because of him. She is a fighter, and there's only one thing holding her back." And then somebody else chimed in, said he almost made her cry in between rounds. And Misha said, "Glad I'm not the only one to see it." So there you go.
Yeah, Misha has her opinions. I kind of saw it the other way around. I thought West was pulling back because I think my impression was that if West went harder, he would have actually made her cry coming out for round five, and that's why I don't know. I'm kind of surprised Misha is going this route. Wasn't last week Misha just calling out Ladd for like cheating on the scale or something? I don't know. Misha has issues. Misha doesn't like Ladd. There's something going on there.
Yeah, she said something on our serious show that she was like, "Let me make things clear. I don't hate Aspen Ladd." She was responding to something and whatever. And then like her and Jim West went at it on Twitter, which I'm sure they'll probably do again later. So
yeah.
What else we got?
Throw in your questions, kids.
Listen, I know this is a UFC show. I'm watching this Bellator card like up on the screen here. There's a lot of people there. It's a good crowd in Phoenix tonight.
Nice. Good for them. Good for them.
Like almost, I mean, at least in the first level, I think like every seat's full, at least from what I see. So good for them.
Good card. You know what? This is actually interesting. I wasn't going to put this up, but I think there is some truth to this in the sense that Misha does have the experience of being in a relationship with her coach for many years. I don't know anything about Jim West and Aspen Ladd's relationship, but
me neither.
Brian Caraway and Misha Tate, that is kind of publicly known that, you know, they did have a kind of a bad breakup, and Brian Caraway was her coach for years. So maybe Misha sees something that we don't see because she has actually gone through this. So
yeah. Question is Misha seeing herself in Aspen? Ex-boyfriend Brian Caraway was doing the same thing for her. Yeah, I mean, could be. That's could be where she's seeing it from.
Yeah.
She's putting herself in her shoes.
Let's talk about Jim Miller.
Jim Miller should be Hall of Fame for his battle with Lyme disease alone. Well, he knocked that out, and then he knocked out Eric Gonzalez tonight. I mean, if Jim, like, here's the thing. I picked Eric Gonzalez to win. I just thought, like, if he can get out of this first round, he'll win. But little did I know. And by the way, if Jim Miller's ever a 2-1 or more favorite in a fight ever again, I will never pick against him. That's it. I'm done. And yeah, he should. I would like to see him get in the Hall of Fame while he's still a fighter. I think. I mean, he's gonna keep going until UFC 300. He's gonna try, which is, I think Brandon Fitzgerald said it would be like 2025. That's gonna happen. So that's,
they'll put him in his years. They'll put him. So I think Miller's 38 right now. So it'll be 42. You know, if with proper matchmaking for Jim Miller, that is a possibility. Yeah. Yep. I hope the UFC matchmakes him properly. That's about it. Are you doing on to the next for this card?
We are, of course.
Oh yeah, yeah. So Jim Miller's next fight is gonna be kind of interesting.
Oh yes,
yeah.
Yep. We got to look deep into that one
because this is a weird booking in the first place. Him versus Eric Gonzalez, that was just odd. But you know, hey, those odd. The matchmakers knew something. They get paid for something because that fight made no sense to me, and yet somehow we got probably the best knockout in the card.
Yeah, it was the best fight. It was probably the best fight on the card too.
Yeah.
I said that I picked that after Miller beat Roosevelt Roberts. Just do that freaking fight again.
Is Cowboy,
I'm totally fine with that fight.
Is Cowboy even, is he training right now? Is he in conversations? You know, yeah, I know he's not retired, but he's just been kind of radio side. I'm sure he's doing other outside business.
He's doing ventures, movies or something.
Movies and stuff. Yeah, I can see that.
That's fine. That is a fine fight.
All right.
If you want to do Jim Miller versus Tony Ferguson, I'm fine with that too.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah.
That's a fine fight too.
There you go.
I don't think Lat can make 135 safely unless she makes some serious changes. What does she need to do to successfully stay at 145? I don't think she has to do much. I don't think she has to do much. Honestly, like her frame, her size, she was just as big as Norma. Yeah. Like she's got the 45 frame. Even Norma said after the fight, like, I know she took the fight on short notice, but she even recommended that Aspen stay at 45. You're a 45er. Like, stay there. Don't hurt yourself. I mean, just put on some muscle, I guess, but not much. I mean, I feel like she's got a frame where she can fight at 45. It's just, you just got to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Get loose in there.
We kind of talked about this earlier, but I think as far as Lad's success at 35 or 45, I think right now it is something that's going on outside of the cage, honestly. In her personal life, Jim West, I don't know. I'm completely speculating. But Aspen Ladd's mental, her head was not in the fight tonight. That's the only thing I will say. That was not the best Aspen Ladd that walked out into the cage tonight.
Yeah. Listen, 2-year layoff, horrible injury before a big fight with Juliana Pena Sarah McMahon, excuse me. And then makes the weight, gets ready to fight Macy Chiasson. Chiasson gets hurt, fight is off. They rebook it. She misses weight, fights off again. She's back 2 weeks later, up a weight class in a main event. She's been through a lot. Yeah. Like, and that's the thing. It's tough. Like, this is sport. This is sports, and people have opinions. When you do something great, you're praised. When you do something bad, you get crapped on. It's just sports. But we also have to remember at times that these are human beings that go through human being things. And I feel like Aspen has gone through a lot. And I think maybe making that walk, it was just like, wow, I can't believe this is happening. And maybe just all those emotions, just, it was like a volcano erupting all at once. And sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
And that's probably what happened to her tonight. Who knows? I mean, who knows what else is going on? But I mean, just dealing with what she's been through like the past 4 months, I mean, it had to have been a lot. So,
all right. Take a few more questions. Is this true?
Isn't it strange? No poster or promo video for Costa versus Vittori? Was there no poster? I thought I saw like, I don't know if I saw like a UFC, like, North American poster. I think there's like a Brazilian poster made that I saw on like one of the UFC sites. I think Marcel Dorf might have posted it. So go, if you want to go through his Twitter, it might be there.
They
were talking about it throughout the card. So
that is kind of true. I mean, I'm looking at Tapology. They always have the fight poster, and it's just kind of generic, you know, the generic, fight announcement type of graphic. So yeah, that is, that fight's next.
Maybe
that
they. Yeah, maybe they try to make a promo, and then those two guys just got so out of control that they're just like, nope, nope, can't do it. Nope, we're not posting that.
Yeah,
these two guys are lunatics.
Yeah, so to answer your question, yes, it is strange. no promo footage, no poster, and I don't know. Maybe the UFC is going like, we don't have, people watch it regardless, whatever. I don't know. No idea.
All right, we got anything else?
Yeah.
It's been a weird day.
Yeah. Hey, good job, Red Sox. Good job. What was the final score?
I said they're going to win by 8 runs. It was 9-5.
Yeah, okay.
9 to 5. But two grand slams early. It was over.
It was a grand slam?
Right there in the,
it was two grand slams?
Two. They hit two.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, JD hit one, and then Devers hit one. They hit one in the first, hit one in the second, and then Kike hit another home run in the third of the fourth.
They scored all their runs on home runs.
Yep.
Wow.
Three home runs, and they scored all 9 runs on home runs.
All right. Pretty cool.
Go ahead. Wow. They don't lose. They never lose two in a row in the playoffs. It's insane. They never lose two in a row in the playoffs.
Anything else you want to talk about in the card? Yeah. Bruno Silva. Oh my God, Lupi looks so tiny in there against Carolina. Yeah. And she almost won that fight. She almost kind of won that fight, but man, she's a small strawweight, and yeah, the size was just too much.
It was too much, yeah. I saw a lot of people score that for Lupi. I just don't know how you can.
No, Lupi.
I don't know how you can. I thought for sure we're gonna get a split decision, but all three judges got it right. I thought Carolina won. She was just too big. Lupi worked her ass off in that first round to get that takedown and get the control and try to get that submission. And it's too bad because it's just one of those situations where it's like if the first round was like 5 minutes and 15 seconds.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. But hey, that's how it goes.
That's fights. That's how we fight. I don't know if she does that again. I mean, who knows, man? Like everyone, I saw people on Twitter saying, there's no harm in this. This is like an average thing you would say or normal thing you would say. Lupi's been active. Now she'll take the rest of the year off. She'll come back fresh at 115 in 2022. I will almost guarantee you, unless she broke a bone tonight and had a serious injury, which it didn't look like she did, she will fight again this year.
Yeah.
Guarantee it. She might fight again by November. Yeah. That's how this girl is wired.
I'm sure if it's up to her, she will fight as soon as possible. A lot of fighters want to fight way more than they actually get to fight, by the way. Yeah. It's really the UFC's call. But I think it was Angela Hill that put a very positive tweet about Lupi and what a gangster she is, trying to go out there and do something very, very well. She already broke the record for just two fights in a 7 day span. But she came. Yeah, you're right. I completely forgot. She came within seconds of actually getting that victory. And you know, if she wouldn't get that victory, it would have been an extra $50K, man. But that's the sport. So close.
Okay, so this is what her UFC career has looked like so far. Okay, makes her short notice debut on less than 2 weeks' notice against Jessica Penne. I thought she won that fight, loses a controversial split decision.
It was very close. Then, it could have easily gone to Lupi, correct.
Then, a month later, on less than a week's notice, she agreed to fight Sarah Alpar, not at 125, at 135. At 135, she's going to go up and fight Sarah Alpar. The fight was signed, sealed, and delivered. She had visa issues, so she couldn't fight. So they pulled the fight. Alpar didn't end up fighting. She ended up coming back a few months later, fought at 125, lost, and now she's out of the UFC. She is a gangster. Lupi is a gangster. She's going to go up two weight classes and fight Sarah Alpar a month after her UFC debut. It's just insane. I've been following her for a while, and that's how she is. She's just like, oh, I want to fight, and then someone will call her and be like, we have a card in 10 days. She's like, all right, I'll fight. She took the LFA title fight on like less than 2 weeks' notice and won. She's something else. She's something else.
Yeah, she's a great personality, great fighter. I mean, I think Jessica Penne had kind of the storyline going into that fight, and I think people were kind of like, it was a close fight. You know, was she the one that threw Jessica Penne?
That's the power bomb.
Oh, the power bomb. She's so cool.
You power bomb somebody, you win. Like,
yeah. That should have been a draw at least. No, Lupi cannot fight at 125 at a high level. But 115, can't wait to see her again. Don't know who she fights next, but I'm looking forward to seeing her fight. Real quick, before we wrap this up, let's talk about Andrei Arlovsky. Co-main event. Hey, I thought that fight was going to suck. And you know what? It didn't suck that much. It was kind of the classic heavyweight fight I love. Two gassed out, sweaty dudes just throwing looping hooks in round three. Oh, dude.
That's the Jed Meshew special right there.
And the because ESPN freaking the app sucks, and I can't rewind it like 5 seconds without going back 10 minutes on my player. It's just whatever. That's a whole other issue. But like when it was like the 5 second mark and the or 10 second mark, and then you know the guy just did a little clapper. Both guys about 5 seconds. Instead of fighting, they both raise their hands and start walking around. 5 seconds left. I was like, God bless heavyweights. I love these guys.
Andre freaking Arlovski. So,
a lot of people thought Carlo Felipe won too. I can't really.
Yeah,
remember.
I didn't really care.
I just, yeah.
Andre Arlovski has won 4 out of 5. The one loss is to Tom Aspinall, but he's won 4 out of 5 back to back co-main events. Dude's tearing it up.
Yeah, MMA decisions actually has a split between Arlovski and Felipe winning the fight pretty much. But yeah. Arlovski won, someone had to win. And man, I think I saw a tweet from Air Hawani when the UFC had re-signed, or actually in 2011, that was when Arlovski got knocked out bad by Sergey Kharitonov in Strikeforce. And I just remember everyone saying, Andre's done. And I think at that point, he had changed camps. He went to Jackson MMA. And I remember I talked to Greg Jackson a long time about Andre. And you know, everyone was like, oh, he just has no chin. And Greg was like, it's not his chin. It's like, it's in here. He thinks he doesn't have a chin. And it was they had to rebuild him. Make him a different fighter. And Andre Arlovski is a different fighter now than what he was when you think of like UFC 20 or whatever he was in before. And he just fights like a veteran. He knows what he is. He doesn't try to overextend himself. And he is just fantastic fight night co-main event material for these top 15 heavyweights. And he's a good prize fighter. He knows how to work it. I'm sure he's the highest paid fighter on this card by far.
Emmer Miller,
yeah. So
because now they get the promotional compliance. Miller probably has more promotional. Well, both those guys probably make the max in that sense, and Jim gets an extra $50K as well. So I think Jim probably walks out with the most money.
Oh yeah, maybe with the $50K, yeah. But overall, yeah. But your show win, Andre. Yeah. I love Bisping. When Bisping asked Andre, like, oh, so what? Why do you do this? What motivates you? How are you still doing this for all these years? And Bisping's expecting some, you know, Andre going to go, I'm a fighter. I do it for the fans. Andre just says, I have a wife and 2 kids. And that was it.
anyone with a wife and kids just nodded their head like, yep. Yeah, I hear you, dude. I'm with you.
And Bisping goes, okay. Andre Arlovski, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. I have wife, 2 kids. For me.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
He gets it. He got it.
He gets it. All right.
All right. I think we have given this card all we can give it, if we're being honest. But for those watching live right now, head on over to...
The crowd is win?
Did he? The fight just ended. I don't know if...
Are people messaging me? He's like, Kraus is my favorite fighter.
It looks like a fun fight. I didn't watch much of it, but let me... I don't know if they...
Yeah, people were saying Kraus came in.
No, no decision has been made yet, from what I can tell. But he might have won. It's the popular pick. But yeah, for those listening to the podcast right now, you're probably like, what the hell are you talking about? It's already over, but... But for those watching live right now, enjoy the rest of the Bellator card. We will see you tomorrow. AK and I will continue to talk about this card. We'll talk about where the notable names go from here. What's next for Norman Dumont? What's next for Andre Arlovski? What's next for Jim freaking Miller? We'll find out tomorrow on to the next one. For Casey, for the silhouettes of AK, I am Mike Heck. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for watching. Happy birthday, AK. Happy birthday.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.